Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, looky here, on the River Islands guest line, and just looking beautiful on the tube. Get over to YouTube right now. It's our buddy. It's our friend. It's the man who spent the last 2 years in the Niners huddle on the offensive line. It's none other than the great John Feliciano, the Not Our Fault podcast, which you've got to check out on YouTube. And I've been saying a few times today, if I'm a veteran player, I'm bummed at the way the Niners handled this. So let's ask a veteran player. Hey, John, if you were still on this team, would you be ticked off that they didn't do anything today?
Ticked off is a little, that's a strong word.
What word would you use?
There would have been excitement. There's always excitement during the end of the, right before the trade deadline. But man, this isn't the NBA, man. This is NFL. I wish that the trade deadline was like the NBA trade deadline, where superstars go left and right, and it switches up the whole league. But with football, that's really not it. Shut up, Siri.
What did Siri just
Siri's
do?
Trying to butt in right now, huh?
What did Siri say?
She said, to who? Oh. I don't know.
Siri, you got to mind your place. And, you know, as much as we look at acquisitions, they kind of got one in their own. Spencer Burford's back. John, what did you think of his performance playing all the snaps on offense?
Yeah, man, he looked good. I think he's gonna. We'll see what happens when Barsh gets back. But weren't they working Spencer, more at like swing tackle during the training camp and stuff?
Yes.
So credit to him for he probably didn't get much guard reps. So credit to him for going out there and playing well. I think the whole old line actually played really well. So that's good to see.
Dude, your shades are jamming. What are those? What do you got? What are you wearing right now?
Yeah, you know, these are for the EMF stuff. You know, I got my wired headset. Did you see that whole thing going on with the EMFs and why I think we get hurt so much?
I did, and I've got it on my notes here that I wanted to ask you. Dibs is looking a little like a confused
look. There, John.
So yes, John Feliciano. Yeah. I mean, I'll let you speak to it, but basically the concept is that there's something, a structure next to Levi's Stadium that you potentially believe is what's causing all of these injuries. This is a big, big story and statement here, Feliciano.
Well, it's not just me. I'm probably the worst guy here because people tell me things, and if it makes sense, I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. So some of the high profile players over there that are really holistic and hippie and all that jazz really believe that the EMF stuff messes with your thyroid or some crap like that. And that's, you know, a lot of guys in that locker room think that doesn't help with recovery.
Okay. So like if it doesn't help with recovery, then in theory it could be affecting almost any body part, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the trees on that side are like all dead and stuff. I mean, it's that's not beneficial having all those wire, like all that electricity stuff.
Atta babe. Wow, what a vet.
Near false start there.
What a vet. 6 weeks ago, that thing was going to come flying out of your mouth.
Yeah, the IT would have come flying out, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm trying to get better, man. I'm feeling a little on edge right now. I'm ready to go, you know what I'm saying? I'm feeling good.
You do know that a healthy portion of our listeners are really hoping that you don't get better. You do know that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, all right. Wait a minute. We got to expand on this. So, because I feel like people listening are going, hold on a second. So you're basically saying that there are current 49ers and maybe a little bit more on the holistic side that are truly, firmly of the belief that electric structures near Levi Stadium are potentially, I mean, are they saying this is the full cause or just not really helpful? How would you phrase it with regard to all these injuries?
So it's definitely not the full cause. I mean, you can't, like Fred's injury, that's just someone falling into you. Some of it's just football. But some of the other stuff, man, it doesn't make sense. And we're trying to find answers. And that's definitely one that is talked about in the locker room.
Interesting. The more you,
and I mean, it's really easy to see what players think that. Just see who has ever wearing wired headphones. There's a bunch of them.
And thinking that the wireless,
or some of the guys shirtless, walking barefoot on the grass, grounding.
Because the electromagnetic fields that are produced would maybe infiltrate your wireless headset. Is that the thinking?
It's not good for your brain. I've seen some kind of Instagram reel about it. You know, people send me stuff, but it's there's obviously more research that needs to be done. And you know, I'm a betting man, and I bet it doesn't help.
Huh? John Feliciano with us on Willard and Dibbs. Is this something that you guys, like, it was talked about in the locker room over the last 2 years while you were there, or are you hearing more about it just this year?
Definitely last year. My first year there, it was kind of a joke. I was like, especially me when I was, you know, I'm new. I was like, hey, what the heck's going on here? Why is all this right behind where we practice? And then a lot last year, it was just like, you know, we're all trying to find out what the heck's going on. And everyone's like, well, what do you think about all this electro crap, right? But then it just, everyone kind of, you know, believes it.
Huh. I don't know why, but like when you say some of the Niners who are more kind of on the holistic side, my mind's just going to Kittle. Are you talking about Kittle right now?
Who, me?
Yeah, you
George?
Are.
George? You We're are, going up. Dude, me and George, I talked to George about that. I am so, my daughters have made me watch K-pop Demon Hunters about 1,500 times, and nothing made me happier than when I saw George jamming out to that. I instantly messaged him. We bonded over K-pop. George is my guy, and he's definitely a holistic kind of guy.
Yep. So George, like, I'm not trying to, like, out it, but George thinks that this is something, huh?
I didn't say George. You're saying George.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
you're saying
the holistic guy.
And then you just called him holistic.
I mean, apples and oranges, you know?
Anyway, I can just, that's my gut. My gut, when you started talking about this, I'm like, I think he's talking about George. I don't know why. It just feels like something George would believe. How about that?
George is a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
I hope I'll see him in WrestleMania again this year. My guy. Love George. Whatever he needs, I got his back. Super holistic kind of guy.
Yeah. What's more dangerous, the EMF waves or the field turf at MetLife Stadium?
Good question.
Oh, God. God, listen, I was one of the guys that when I my year with the Giants, they I don't know who it was. I might have been Dayball that you know, they I don't know what partnership they kind of got with turf or whatever, but there was a point where out in the parking lot there's two different kind of turfs, and I was one of the guys that kind of went out and tried the turf because they were going to change it. And mind you, they weren't the greatest ones, but we went with the better one. And obviously that still hasn't worked. And it's unfortunate. Like George was saying, when an NFL field is a butt of a joke, is like, it has to be time to do something about it.
Well, I loved what he said, because he's like, you know, he sort of said, we're the only sport that has all these different surfaces, which is not totally accurate because baseball has a bunch of different surfaces too. But, he was liking it to hockey and basketball.
They're running around bases. They're not doing nothing athletic.
Well, it's different. It's different. You do see a hell of a lot fewer torn ligaments and things like that in baseball. So I'll buy what you're saying.
I've seen someone that looks like my grandpa out there, 600 pounds. Balling.
Yeah, it's the Blue Jays catcher. 5'8", about 260.
Yep.
Hey, John, do you guys mix up the footwear based on the field surface? Because it doesn't seem like a lot of Giants tend to sustain the injuries. When you go to play at, like, MetLife, do you go with no cleats? Or what do you do with your footwear?
There 100% is a lot of guys that change up their cleats. I was a Jordan guy, so I don't care. I'm out there. My feet are to make me look good. There's nothing else on my body that's going to look good in the uniform except the cleats. So I had to make sure that I had something. But there is a lot of guys, especially, back in the day, they used to have these sharks. We called them sharks. They were Nike turf cleats that were like barely a cleat, but they were like perfect to play on some of like the harder turfs.
Huh. What kind of kicks are you wearing right now? Like, for the radio audience, we got a black beanie, we got yellow sunglasses, we got holistic EMF discussion, we got a black sweatshirt. What kind of kicks are you wearing, man? Yeah, show us.
No kicks at all. Got my toes out, man.
Live bare feet from John Feliciano on YouTube.
I can't see that.
You're gonna have to pay me for something. You guys have to pay me a little extra for that.
Yeah.
Have you ever played for Rex Ryan? I'm sorry.
I was a huge buddy. I grew up a Jets fan. 2009, 10 AFC Championships games. Those were like the height of my Jets fan career. So I love me some Rex Ryan.
Okay, good. Hey, like, circling back to the deadline thing, though, how do you view these Niners? Are they like, they're 6-3? But with all these injuries, like, do you see them as a contender for something real?
100%. I think they're the first thing they got to do is win the division. Obviously, this week's game is very important with the Rams. The Seahawks are looking real good. We handled them the first time, but they got better with the trade deadline. But you also got to think, if they trade for someone big, what's like, how much money do we got left? I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, cap wise, and I think they believe in the guys they got now. I mean, and obviously they just went and handed out the Giants, who've, you know, tested some of the best teams in the league. So, man, I think Kyle and John are just confident in what they got.
John Feliciano with us every Tuesday. All right, man, how did Halloween go?
Man, I'll tell you what, this is my first year that I'm home and around the family and not in like Florida where it's super hot when you go trick-or-treating. It was pretty cold. I don't know if you saw, I was Lex Grossman from Tom Cruise from Tropic Thunder. Had to break out the dance and all. Probably my best costume ever. I just want to wear that around for until Christmas.
I'm bummed that you didn't. Like, will you please wear it during the interview next week?
Yeah, next week I got you. Okay. I'm gonna be in full character.
Sweet.
I'll be
sweet.
In full character. I might have to bleep some stuff out.
Brother, your Twitter didn't get hacked, did it?
Why? What's going on?
No, because that I saw you were one of the people. I just got my account back today, and you were one of the people that reacted to the hacker DM that came from me to you, and I wanted to make sure that your account didn't get compromised.
You know, I'm terrible with that. You know,
yeah. Don't click on any links, okay?
I got you. Okay.
Don't
got
click it. On any links. All right. Appreciate you for being kind, though. That was nice of you.
Did I say something nice?
You gave me a thumbs up back, which obviously...
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, it was window dressing, but still, thank you for doing it. All right, John. All right, we'll John. Talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, guys.
All right. Yeah. See ya. There he goes. That's John Feliciano in yellow sunglasses live from Tennessee, where apparently it's cold on Halloween.
Right. And the idea of EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies.
Hold on a second, right?
Well, it's nonsense is what it is.
Why?
Unless you're talking about a massive, massive exposure, I don't think that being around it at that distance is going to be linked in any way to an increase in injury. And I will lead you to... just some reporting I've been, or some research while you've been talking to him. Yeah. The Buffalo Bills have a substation basically in the same proximity, and the Rams do too. And they don't have the same level of injury that the 49ers do.
Well,
the Rams have a substation literally on their premises, which would be producing the same level of EMFs that the Niners would be suffering through.
I don't feel, first of all, I know nothing about this, but I certainly don't feel comfortable writing it off as nothing and comparing other situations. The Rams play in an indoor facility. The weather is completely different in Buffalo. The heat of, I have no idea how that travels.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and tell you, someone with the Niners believes it, so so do I, but I certainly, I'm not going to just flick it as if it's not. We're all sitting here looking for what the hell's going on, right? And it's
sure.
It's out of control mysterious. No?
It's not that mysterious.
You don't think it's mysterious that the 49ers...
I don't think it's mysterious to the level that I would link it to EMFs. And this, the article that you'll find is from a guy named Chase Sr. Chase Sr.
Well,
is
Chase,
the one who is...
Chase is an aggregator and he doesn't know anything.
Okay, so there you go.
But
and
I don't,
that is, he's
I,
the person who has pushed this forward.
Well, yeah, but
to where,
I don't care about that. We're sitting here talking to people who are in the locker room, and multiple people believe it. So I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying I can't say that they're wrong, and I find anything to be interesting because the 49ers seem to almost lead the league in injuries every year, and there is no good way to explain it at all. None.
Well, if you look at other facilities that also have these EMFs present and around them, you'd have to ask, why don't they get hurt at the same rate?
Again, I have no idea how that gets emitted. Again,
right.
The Rams are in an indoor facility. The Bills...
Well, the Rams don't practice in the indoor facility.
I don't know where the hell they practice.
Right. Well, so according to this reportage...
Yeah, if it's from Chase Sr., I have no...
And the follow-up is from Rob Stats Guerrera. He's the one who followed up. So,
What do you mean he followed up?
Like, he saw the Chase Sr. report and he debunked it with examples of other teams that have similar situations they don't have the same injuries.
Again, yeah, to me, that's not, you. Like, all respect to Rob, you go to Buffalo, go to LA, and then talk to experts who would know something about how this stuff travels, how it's emitted, what's the temperature, what are the other facilities there in the way. Again, not saying I believe a damn word. I'm saying I have no idea what to believe. I can't confirm or deny. I don't know anything about this at all. The only thing I know is it is a damn mystery why the Niners get hurt more than other teams every single year. And I don't buy for a damn second in the day and age of the players' union having all kinds of control over how much practice time, the way they practice, the pads, the helmets, the blah, blah, blah. Like, there's no, I know for a fact that even if the Niners practice harder than every team in the league, that's a lot less hard than they used to practice 20 or 30 years ago.
Well,
that I know.
Yes, and as we've talked with so many people, what these pro athletes do now is bigger, stronger, faster. And so injuries happen a lot more now because you're asking your edge rusher, for example, to run a 5.5 or a 4.5 40 and be able to bend all the way to the ground. You're getting double teamed. You're playing 17 games. These guys are all a lot bigger than they used to be. So the strain on the body is a lot more than it was 20 years ago.
I can buy that completely, but why always the Niners?
Well, other teams get hurt too.
Not to the level of the Niners.
Well, then it's a combination of things, and I would not cite the proximity of electromagnetic fields as a reason. I think you can look at a number of other things that are prevalent with what the Niners do that are more of a factor.
Like what?
Like they play physically. They play a brand of football that is more physical than a lot of other teams. I think they practice harder.
Can I ask what that means?
Like, that means if you watch them play,
are all banging into each other with full force on every play.
Like, this defense is a defense that tries to get in there and hit you as opposed to just simply tackle you more than other defenses.
I don't know. Okay.
Something's up with the way they go about training. They have a lot of soft tissue injuries. I don't know if that comes from EMFs. And I do think that they have a propensity to draft players with injury histories.
I mean, that's interesting. Then again, we'd have to run that up against the players who are actually getting hurt. And then the other thing that I've always wondered, I mean, is there even such a thing as a football player that doesn't have an injury history? I mean, who the hell comes into the draft and they're like, craziest thing, never been hurt. Been playing since I was 8.
Well, there's never been hurt. And then there's Nick Bosa had a torn ACL in high school.
Right.
So there's a history of a guy who tore his knee.
That's one player.
And they've been known for drafting guys who have torn ACLs.
I will look at what Feliciano just said the same way I would look at what you said. I can't debunk or disprove anything, but my mind is open to almost anything. I do have, this is the way my brain sort of processes. I have a hard time with the point that the Niners are more physical than other teams. Football is bananas physical. I don't see really more than one way to play it. Every team's got a safety that's hunting your head. Every team is banging down in the interior. I know when they say, you know, the Niners will hit you, but like they run the ball a lot. So maybe there's that, like, to me, that does not add up to why in 8 years, 6 times the Niners have led the league in injuries or whatever.
But you
I can't see that.
You've got Deebo Samuel for years who is taking on contact. George Kittle does the same. I think that their approach is different than a lot of other teams.
You know who plays a lot like Deebo? I was thinking about this the other day when he went out of the game again. I worry for the Rams about Puka Nacua. He plays exactly like Deebo Samuel.
Right.
And so I'm starting to wonder, because he, quite frankly, if you gave him 17 games, I think that might be the best wide receiver in football. I know that Smith and Jigba, there's the numbers, whatever. We can all Jamar Chase. Puka Nacua is an unbelievable football player, but I really wonder if he's just not going to get hurt at some point every year, because he plays exactly like Deebo.
He does. You know who doesn't really play that way, and he's smart? Is Christian McCaffrey. Watch a game of McCaffrey. Yep. Just watching McCaffrey and all his touches, he does an amazing job of avoiding the big shot. He gets tackled, of course, but you don't often catch him where he just gets absolutely lit up. He's shifty. He covers up when contact is coming, and he goes down.
The funny thing is, though, is these injuries that we're all scared of are often non-contact injuries.
Yep.
So we're all out here being like, God, watch out for the contact. The contact isn't often what gets you. It's the damn turf or just your movements.
Yeturgos Matos got hurt in practice.
Right, right. Malik Nabers on that turf, no one touched him. No one touched him. I don't know if anyone touched Mykal Williams. Nobody touched Nick Bosa. Somebody touched Fred Warner.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't know, man. All right. You want to do Grandy's Grades?
Let's do it.
It's Tuesday. That's the day we look back at the most recent game. And this one seems that it would be on a pretty good track. So let's do it. Let's do Grandy's Grades.
All right, guys. Always love doing grades after a win, and that's what we have this time around. Niners knock off the Giants a couple of days ago, 34-24. As always, we'll go by position groups, and we begin with the quarterback, which once again was Mac Jones. I thought Mac had himself a really good game once again. One turnover. It was technically a fumble, but could have been an interception. I don't really blame him for that all that much. And the run game was awesome in the second half, so I don't think he was asked to do a ton specifically in the second half. But what he was asked to do, I thought he executed to near perfection. I thought he was really good. 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. That one turnover came at the very end of the first half. He got an A. There was not much more that I wanted from Mac Jones.
I give him my Kendrick Lamar. He gets an A-, and that's only because of one play. You got to know in that situation, I have no problem with Kyle Shanahan trying to be aggressive before the half. But if the pocket is closing, that's a tuck and fall. That's it. The only thing you can't do at the end of the half is turn the ball over. So that is partially, not all, but partially on Mac Jones, that one turnover. But Grandy, I'm with you outside of that. I thought it was just a fantastic professional football game for the quarterback. So for me, A-.
He did what was asked, and he had the huge turnover, which would have been huge if the Giants didn't fail to cash it in. They missed the field goal. I gave him a B+, not only because of the turnover, but other than that, he didn't really do a lot for me. He had about 6.5 yards per attempt in the air. It was a lot of dink and dunk and check it down, and the Giants couldn't stop it, so good on you. But I was not blown away by the performance. He gets a sturdy B+.
Yeah, overall, very good grades from the three of us for the Niners quarterback. Up next is skill positions. That's running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Running back scored 3 touchdowns in this one. McCaffrey had 1 on the ground and through the air. Brian Robinson had his first touchdown as a 49er. Juwan Jennings, I think, had one of his better games of the season. I know it wasn't an incredible game in terms of numbers, 4 catches, 41 yards, but had a touchdown as well. Kittle was more involved than he was last week. What can we say about McCaffrey? Led the team in rushing yards and receiving yards, those 2 total touchdowns, and then really good to see Brian Robinson get going on the ground as well. Much like the quarterback, I don't think we could have asked for a ton more from this group. I gave skill positions an A for their performance on Sunday.
Yeah, solid A. I don't know what they technically did wrong. I'm trying to remember a drop in the game. I don't remember one. There were a few plays that didn't go great. I'll get to that later when we discuss coaching, but you had Watkins make a huge catch.
Nice play.
Juwan had a couple of tough catches. McCaffrey finally with the burst. And you mentioned B-Rob, who I love.
You do.
That was a great run and broke a couple tackles and scored. So I gave him an A as well.
Bromance. I know it's actually a man crush, but you have a bromance.
I do like
with
Brian
B-Rob.
Robinson. Yeah.
B-Rob bromance. But yeah, there's not a whole lot more to say. It's an A. I can't find the big mistake that any of the guys made.
There I've got a major bromance with Fred Warner.
Right, and Dan Dibley has a major bromance with Brian Robinson. But I co-sign, it's an A. It was a very clean game from this group. The other side of the field with the Giants cannot say that, and you could see the difference. So A for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Up next is the offensive line. Interesting that the Niners benched Connor Colby, who is not expected to be a starter this year, but has been filling in for Ben Barch at left guard. They go with Spencer Burford. You guys were just talking with John Feliciano about that. Burford's basically only been a tackle and used sparingly because he's never really been a starter for the Niners either. I thought he filled in pretty darn good at left guard, and Hennessy continues to be pretty solid at center as well. And then you look at the run game numbers. I mean, the Niners ran for 159 yards on 39 attempts. That's over 4 yards per carry. And the last 2 drives, it was all runs and 2 passes. That was it. And those were both touchdown drives. They salted the game away on the ground. Obviously, McCaffrey and Robinson get credit for that, but so does the offensive line. Mac was still pressured a handful of times. This is also a really good defensive front in terms of rushing the passer. So it wasn't perfect, but it was really good. An A- for the offensive line.
Yeah, I struggled with A- or B+. I went B+ because if I'm going to take some points away from Mac Jones for that turnover, I got to take some points away from Colton McKivitz as well, because Burns went right around him, and that really could have changed the momentum of the game. If the Giants, I mean, they tried a field goal. Heck, what if they had actually gotten a touchdown? That could have changed the entire outlook of this entire football game. And yes, Mac Jones was pressured a time or two. It's excusable. As you said, these are really, really good pass rushers for the Giants, but all in all, a very good game and a B+.
B+ for me as well, and McKivitz also had a false start, and the aforementioned Spencer Burford actually had a big old ole on the other time where Mac Jones got sacked, and that was one that pushed him back into deep field goal range, but they ran it well. They got to the second level in the ground game, and only the 2 sacks, one of which, Mark, you're right, it did kind of lead to that awkward, not an interception. I guess it's called a fumble, but I gave him a B+ as well. Good game.
We switch over to the defense now, and we go to the front 7. That's the down linemen and the linebackers. I thought that Tatum Bethune had himself a hell of a game. He was all over the place in this one, and you got to give credit to Cleveland Furl for a sack that he had on Jackson Dart. I have no idea how Jackson Dart managed to hold on to that ball, by the way. I thought it was going to be a strip sack and maybe a turnover. Sam Okwuonu is having a really good season, and it's very needed considering the injuries all over the place. to the 49ers defense. I know the Giants did have some success on the ground. I think most of it was Jackson Dart and his scrambling ability. That is something to keep an eye on. Niners versus mobile quarterbacks has been an issue. But again, considering who you were putting out there on the field, I thought it was pretty darn good. Not too much to be upset about. Wasn't great by any stretch, but pretty good. A B-plus for me for the front seven.
Yeah, B-plus. I'm right in lockstep. You had a couple of penalties in there, and I'm looking at the unnecessary roughness on Bethune after a Dart scramble. That's really where I ding him the most is they had a hard time containing.
That felt like a bad call to me.
Definitely. And Sterator said so on the broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. It cost you 15 yards. So we're not, I don't think that referees are one of the categories. So you commit the penalty and it counts against you and it's part of your permanent record. And I thought that the first drive was like a uh-oh kind of a thing where they went tempo and the Niners were on their heels. But by and large, after that, they kept the Giants down. It's a B+.
I'm actually going to upgrade from an A-, or I'm from a B+ to an A- just because of the comment you just made. so the referees get an F. But yeah, like I'll put it this way. Sure, there were a few mistakes in there. Same thing with the uh-oh feeling after the opening drive. But then I was mindful of like great teams of the past with the 49ers and even like the great USC teams with Pete Carroll. That I covered for a few years, and they would let you kind of get a punch in the mouth early in the game. It was almost like, let's see what you're going to do. And then as soon as you do it, they're like, great, we've got the adjustment for that. And then they didn't do much the rest of the way. I know the Giants ended up with 24 points, but a lot of it was garbage time stuff. And so, I'll go A- for the front seven.
Maybe I should add, referees to Grandy's grades.
F every week.
Yeah, maybe.
Exactly.
Up next is secondary, safeties, and cornerbacks. I thought largely it was a pretty positive day for this group. I do think the Niners have issues at safety. I know I'm not breaking any news there, but Jair Brown, I'm still not convinced he's a starting level safety in the NFL. He had a really good pass breakup in the end zone in the fourth quarter. Besides that, he was lost out there more often than not. On the touchdown run by Jackson Dart, I think that was early in the fourth quarter. He was the spy on Jackson Dart. He was playing essentially linebacker depth, and as Jackson Dart runs to the right with his running back as his lead blocker, Tatum Bethune, Jair Brown is running the opposite direction. I have no clue what he was seeing. Just to highlight one, I think, of the issues for this Niners secondary. Wasn't terrible. This is also a Giants group that doesn't have a lot of receivers given the injury to Malik Nabers. Wasn't bad, but I think of the defensive units, this was the worst of the two. I gave the secondary a B. Not bad, but they didn't amaze me.
Yeah, I ended up with a B as well for a lot of those same reasons. The one thing I will point out, though, is that when the pass rush is not great, it's kind of impossible on a secondary in the NFL. And the one thing, the compliment that I really want to give a lot of those secondary players is this. How many times did Jackson Dart on 3rd and 7 throw the ball 4 yards, or on 3rd and 12 throw the ball 9 yards, and they made the tackle every single time and knocked him down short of the sticks and caused a punt? That's their job, and they did that one very well.
Which is why I give him an A-. And if you look at the explosives they allowed, they had a Slayton catch late in the game. It was already 27-10. And then on that final drive, Olszewski, 24-yard touchdown. That's about it. The secondary was bend but don't break. And I love what you pointed out there, Mark, about the tackling, because they were rallying up. They weren't missing tackles after that opening drive, and they were supporting in the run game. And yeah, the Jair Brown play, a little bit confused on the Dart touchdown, but he had some good plays as well. And, Renardo Green in coverage, Diamondo Lenore doing his feisty thing, getting in people's face. I thought they had a great game. I gave him an A-.
All right. And then up next, as we move along here on Granny's Grades, it is special teams. Another week and another really solid performance by Niners special teams. Eddie Pinheiro made 2 field goals, 1 from 54, another from 33, made all of his extra points. Brian Robinson had a long kickoff return again. You didn't have any crazy mistakes by Sky Moore. That's a positive.
Almost.
And I felt like almost, but you didn't. It felt like they won the possession battle most times in this game as well. So I thought it was a really, really solid day for special teams. And this is becoming kind of common, which is a good sign for the Niners special teams. For me, they got an A.
Absolute A, yeah. And Sky Moore, not only did he not field a punt that went in for a touchback, but he fielded another one and had a nice little 13-yard return in the first half. The Brian Robinson, big-time kick return for 41 yards. Pinero is money, and also, he didn't kick any touchbacks. He kicked one about a yard deep. They brought it out.
Yep.
Eddie Pinero is putting it inside the 10 consistently. They were awesome again. It's an A.
I also ended up in an A, but in a weird way. I was going to knock it down to an A-minus because you're right. Sky Moore let one bounce into the end zone, but you notice he's decided to stand right next to it, which is not what you're supposed to do. Like, if you're going to let – Sky, just leave. Just run off of the field if you're going to let it go over your head because that thing could bounce any direction. But then as I knocked it down to an A-minus, I knocked it back up to an A for what I think was the coolest field goal in the NFL this year. I've never seen someone kick a field goal that never went more than a foot off the ground. Good on you. Eddie D is so good, he's now doing trick shots. That's fun. A for the special teams.
He still only missed one kick as a Niner, and it was his first kick.
First one.
And it was a point after touchdown.
In a dome.
In a dome. It was not a field goal. He has still not missed a field goal for the 49ers. Up next, and last but not least, it is coaching. I mean, this kind of performance, it's going to be hard for the coaches to not get a good grade, and they certainly did get a good grade from me. I was a little confused end of game. I know it's unfortunate, the Micah Williams injury. The game's over at that point. I was also confused the last Niner offensive drive. Why was it McCaffrey's healthing the clock away as opposed to Brian Robinson or, hell, Garendo? It does not matter. Just anybody but Christian McCaffrey. That was really the only major gripe I had in this game. Maybe the defense became a little soft in that fourth quarter, giving some easier yards away to the Giants, but I can't really be that upset by that. Coaching was very good, an A-minus from me.
I went to B+, but for the exact same reason. I thought the game plan was great. Execution was wonderful. Again, they're getting more out of their players than in theory they should be getting. That, to me, says great coaching. But I knock it to a B+ for the exact reason that you mentioned. And I said it out loud in the moment. This is not hindsight is 2020. Just take a look at what happened to Jaden Daniels the other night. And I'm sitting there thinking, this game is in the bag. Christian McCaffrey should not be out there taking carries. And for that, I go B+.
It's a B, and I think they got bailed out by the Giants by not going up-tempo more. They went tempo in the opening drive. The Niners had no answer, and they didn't go back to it for a long time. The real reason that I had to drop it down is it's threefold. One, that overhand pitch back 6 yards, that play sucks, and McCaffrey lost 5. And the one that really, two of them stuck in my craw, George Kittle in a jet sweep? Really? We're going to give it to, I know he's a speedy tight end, but that play was embarrassing. The one that really got me, though, was the look at Mac Jones. I'm looking at my wristband. And I'm talking to McCaffrey, and Juszczyk goes in motion and runs in and tries to steal the snap and sneak it forward. Act like you're a pro football team and get the yard. You don't need to do all this trickeration. And by the way, it was illegal formation
because
he didn't come set.
I didn't understand what the call was.
The call was he didn't come set, so it's illegal motion, 5 yards. Line up and just get the yard. You get a B, Shanahan. You were trying to be too cute.
Wow, I think I was the softest grader this time around.
Well, you're a big softy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a B as a coaching because you won the game, and by and large, I like the game plan. Those plays, though, it's like, what are we doing?
I don't know.
And then referees get an F, and that's Granny's grade.
Referees get an F.
Actually, they kept themselves mostly out of the game. The back-to-back sequence by the Giants where they went false start. It's like, okay, Giants, home.
That's a shout-out. Maybe we should do an extra grade for Niner fans who travel.
A++.
A got an A+. I don't know, man. Like, some plays don't work.
Some plays are just stupid.
Yeah, well, but also they're not stupid if they work. Like, a lot of times that stuff works, and then you're like, ooh, brilliant, you know, like, trickeration. And then sometimes they don't, and it's like, oh, you're an idiot. Like, I don't know, man. There's got to be room for a few plays every game that get stuffed by a really good defensive line.
I understand that, but when you have a jet sweep and you give it to the tight end, that to me is going to fail more than it's going to succeed. And the other one where Juszczyk goes in motion and Mac Jones is just looking at his wristband and he's chatting with McCaffrey, and meanwhile, Juszczyk's running around like a crazy person. Then he sneaks behind the center, and now we're just going to fool him and steal the yard? Just line up and get the yard. Get the yard. Juszczyk. Are you done?
You're the one talking.
Oh, that's a change.
Yeah, exactly. Brock Purdy of the show. Warriors Summit is Thursday, everybody. That's 2 days from now. For those of you who don't have your calendar app out, it is live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. All of us host together again, discussing yet another Warriors season, and this time 9 games in, including the game tonight on 95.7, the game with the Suns in town. Dibs and me from 2 to 4. All the hosts from 4 to 6. Live, Jack's Restaurant and Bar. We'll have great prizes. They'll have great drink specials. It's kind of all you need. And then you get to meet us, and we get to meet you. How fun. Jack's Restaurant and Bar, Pleasant Hill, Thursday, November 6th. We will see you there. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I'm not a doctor, so it's questionable concern.
All right.
On 95.7 The Game.
So I just saw something a little interesting here in the engaging Dub Nation poll.
Okay. I wonder what you saw.
It would appear that there are some Warrior fans who are a little bit knocked off their game based on what happened late last week.
That was a little ugly when you're up by, and I was looking at the box score earlier, and I was going to play a game with you of, Indiana Pacer or just random senator. There's a guy, I think, named Frumpy who was playing.
I don't think I would have done very well.
Pacer or Muppet?
Furphy.
I watched the game, but it was just people. It was like Pascal Siakam and his friends. And it was just people in jerseys and running around scoring on the Warriors. I get it. We could talk this out, by the way, here on 95.7 The Game, which is presented by Paramount Plus. Can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS. And Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When I mentioned the Engaging Dub Nation poll, it's that engagement is everything on the court and in life. So you vote in our Engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page before every game like there is tonight with the Suns in town. It's presented by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. Warriors just lost 2 games on the road. We feel they should have won. Were the losses a fluke or a sign that they're not as good as we thought? Not as good as we thought leads the vote at 58% to 42% that just say, fluke, brush your shoulder off.
Yep. I'd say fluke. It's much more of a fluke, but you think about last year, and we all talk about the 12-3 start.
Yeah.
And then they lost 5 or 6 in a row, and so that 12-3 start went quickly down the commode, and so this is not that, but when you start to stack losses like this, and the Indiana one is the one I'm mainly looking at, you go to Milwaukee, they don't have Giannis, Steve Kerr is right, and the Warriors do this to other teams as well, when you don't have your stars, sometimes the second and the third teamers get all jacked up, and you steal one, okay, that happened, Milwaukee, Ryan Rollins, career game, tip the cap. Then you go to Indiana and you're up by 11 with 6 minutes left. That's the one you can't kick away. So I get it. I think it's fluky, but don't come out against Phoenix tonight and do that again and find yourself at 4-4 now.
Yeah, no, I think tonight is big. Tomorrow is big. And tonight just got a little bit of help.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Jimmy Butler is in tonight. Jimmy Butler warmed up a short time ago. They said the back is a little tight. Steve Kerr was quoted about a half hour ago as saying there's a chance he misses tonight or tomorrow. So I don't know if this necessarily bodes well for tomorrow. We'll see how he comes out of it. They do not believe it to be serious, but after warming up, Jimmy Butler is a go for tonight against the Phoenix Suns.
All right, that's good news. And Horford is a go tonight, but he's out tomorrow?
No,
or
other way around.
Backwards again.
Other way around.
The second time I've done that.
Horford out tonight. He's in tomorrow. Jimmy Butler in tonight. And
we'll see.
Questionable for tomorrow.
Questionable concern.
Yeah. So, but he's in, and that's good because oddly, like it's early in the season, whatever, but I do think sort of from an emotional standpoint, tonight's kind of a big game after what happened in Milwaukee and Indiana.
Agreed. And, you know, the optics of 5-3 are different than 4-4, and this would be a third straight loss if they were unable to get it done. And I know it's a back-to-back, and you do have to travel to Sacramento tomorrow. It's a bus trip, but if you look at the early schedule for the Warriors is not very kind. A lot of road dates. They got a monster road trip coming up that's almost 2 weeks in length. So, yeah, you're not going to come out of it at 16-3, but when you have opportunities to beat bad teams, I don't care where you are or when it is, you should do that.
Well, and tonight, like all eyes on Devin Booker, because the best player on the other team has had a real nice night often against the Warriors so far this year, and this team right now is all Book. He is averaging book. He's averaging 30 a game. Jalen Green, I don't know how many of you know this, has not played so far this year. And Dylan Brooks has been hurt after playing three games early, which is wonderful, by the way. We haven't made enough about that so far today. You get to watch the Warriors play the Suns tonight, and you do not have to deal with Dylan Brooks.
That's nice.
There is no Dylan Brooks. There is no Draymond Green versus Dylan Brooks. There is no Dylan Brooks, and Dylan Brooks is awful, and I can't stand watching Dylan Brooks. So tonight is wonderful because there's no Dylan Brooks. So anyway, there's that. But this is a very, very beaten-up team and not a great team to begin with. So D up Devin Booker, and that's probably a combination of Kuminga and Moody and maybe some GP2 and a little bit of other stuff mixed in there, but that's all I'm looking for. I think if you can hold Booker, you know, to 25 or less points, you probably win this game going away.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to win it going away and give some guys some rest, because just looking at it, you've got six games in nine nights in five different cities.
Oof.
So you're here to Sac to Denver, you're here to OKC and San Antonio on a back-and-back, and then you have San Antonio two nights later. But six games, nine nights, five locations.
Good teams.
Yeah, San Antonio, OKC,
Denver.
Indiana already got you. Yeah.
Denver, yeah.
And then, you know, that OKC game is a part of a six-game road trip that takes you to New Orleans, to Orlando, to Miami. That's a back-to-back Orlando and Miami, so it's a gauntlet early for the Warriors.
And Friday, you're going to be all hopped up because that's a cup game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that a cup game?
It's the first cup game.
Man, what are you wearing?
I have a special outfit that is going to mirror the court in Denver.
Oh.
I'm going to wear the court. Wear the court.
You should have done that on Friday night. Yeah, well, sir, what are you? I'm the Denver.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Basketball court.
I'm the Denver Cup court.
Yeah.
Get off my property. No.
That wouldn't have sounded weird at all.
You're Denver's cup court? Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
What are you?
No.
Not the cup court.
Totally.
Let's go to Big Smooth in Oakland and see if we can squeeze one in real quick. We're about to leave, Big Smooth. What's going on?
Catching you out the door, am I?
Well, you sure are.
I don't want to hear anything else about a championship. I don't want to hear contending. I don't even want to hear the word contending. We look bad. And yes, of course, we're playing a team Phoenix has depleted. That's exactly who we're going to probably end up losing to. A bunch of guys making trying to make their bones in the NBA and playing against a team that looks like they don't really care. We have no fire. It looks like, you know, we're just supposed to get the W by just showing up. It's very uninspiring basketball. I don't even know if I'm watching tonight. We'll see.
Yes, you are.
What I've seen thus
yes, you
far,
are.
Smith. I don't know, man.
Yes, you are.
I don't know. You're
you
right.
Are.
You're right.
You're watching.
I'm just mad.
You watching?
I'm watching. I'm just mad.
No, you're right.
I'm bitter. Yeah. I'm watching.
How'd you feel? Were you when they were 4-1, were you uninspired?
I was inspired because I believed.
Yeah.
I was a believer, well, but with the product on the court, I'm just like, what are we doing? Pods throwing the ball 50 miles over someone's head, which was completely unnecessary.
Yep.
It wasn't even a necessary. We're doing turnovers that are just completely unwarranted and unnecessary. If we're gonna be good, let's stop making dumb turnovers.
Hey,
let's just start there.
Smooth. Call us tomorrow again when they're 5-3. Okay.
We'll see.
All right. No, you watching. All right. Thanks, Smooth.
12 of the first 17 are on the road. And so far, you're 1-3 on the road, so it's going to be tough.
It's the NBA. It's the NBA. You can't be a title contender at 4-1 and then go into a weekend and now you're not a title contender. I don't know if they were or they weren't, but, like, ride the wave. Just ride the wave.
Yep.
Watch the game.
You got to watch the game.
You got to watch the game.
Better yet, listen to the game.
Listen to the game.
Starts with Evan Giddings here. I almost said Evan Grandy. That would be
really
awkward.
Really, really soon. Warriors Live is coming up next. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We got Cosell tomorrow. We're going to be in between Warrior games, right? Got Warriors tonight, got Warriors tomorrow.
Yep.
Cosell, and much more on tap.
And it's Summit Eve tomorrow.
Summit Eve. Yeah. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I do.
Okay. Great.
We'll bring you material.
We will. We have tonight. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Possibly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.